Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Logical Soul Talk. My name is Michael Craig, and I'm your host for this weekly talk radio program. And this is a show where I get to interview some of the best, brightest, and most creative people or mentors in the world and talk about subjects near and dear to their hearts and mine. And during this special 60-minute program, we have a special today, I'm going to focus on a very special guest. His name is Scott Schilling, and you're going to find out more about this very special person real soon here. But first, a little background. Also, a little explanation. We have a freak storm coming over here in Atlanta, and so if you hear a clap of thunder overhead, that's the sun is still shining, and it's thunder and lightning outside, and it should be passing over real soon. But just in case something happens, I want you to know that we're hanging in there, and the show must go on. So I'm going to continue to talk, and hopefully this thing will pass real soon. But we've got raindrops clapping on overhead. This room has no sound insulation much, but I think we're going to be okay. So a little background. I was a chiropractor for many years. I discovered that most people, including myself, have an underlying pattern of what I call hidden decisions that we made as small children or picked up from our parents, teachers, and even our ancestors. And these subconscious decisions form our reality and affect our motivation and our destiny. And consequently, these hidden decisions can either propel us to greatness or lead us to self-sabotage and failure. Now, quite by accident, many years ago, probably in the early 90s, I discovered I could access and change these hidden decisions to allow amazing results to happen in my own and other people's lives. And you can get more information on my technique and how I'm training life coaches and others to use and spread this technology at www.mycoachtraining.com. That's mycoachtraining.com. My goal today, however, as it is in every show, is that you walk away with something powerful that you can use in your life that will add to your motivation and nourish what I call your seed of success. So whether you're a coach in sales or just want to transform your life, this show is for you. So listen up and take notes. Our special guest tonight has extensive information about sales and presentations. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit more about that. But after about half an hour or so, after about 20, 30 minutes, I invite you to call in with your comments and your questions. Our show hotline is area code 347-843-4544. That's 347-843-4544. And obviously, if you're listening to this as a recorded podcast, you won't be able to call in. But I appreciate you taking the time to listen to us. There's a tremendous amount of information in this recording or in this podcast, so be sure to take it all in and take notes. So thanks again for joining us. My very special guest tonight, as I said, is Scott Schilling. Let me tell you a little bit about Scott. He has just finished a book, I understand. The book is called Without Customers, You Got Nothing. And it sort of sums up the state of what he's about. It's about sales. It's about presentations. He is the founder of Schilling Sales and Marketing, Inc. It's an organization committed to providing inspired answers to today's challenges. And he's a speaker, he's a speaker trainer, he's a consultant, a coach, and he helps people implement strategies for sales, marketing, and business. Scott brings over 30 years of life experience in sales, marketing, training, and speaking to his clients, corporations, business owners, and entrepreneurs. He's presented at over 1,500 events in the last 6 years alone, sharing the stage with General Colin Powell, Rudy Giuliani, former First Lady Laura Bush, and many more. He's an internationally acclaimed trainer, speaker, author, success expert, and philanthropist. I just learned that he's at a golf tournament, John Daly charity golf tournament, I believe it is, out in Texas. And he cut his tournament after 17 holes to come on to be with us today. That's incredible. He's sitting in his car talking to us, and I hope his audio is good enough for you to hear us. Are you there, Scott?
I am, Michael. Thank you so much. I'm just elated to be here.
I'm so happy that you joined us, and I really appreciate, by the way, you're cutting that short. I hate that we cut your tournament short, but I guess, you know, with 17 holes, you had a lower score, right?
Yeah, the rest of my team kept playing. I just came in, but I'm pretty sure we had it won by then anyway. we'll find that out when we go in.
That's an optimist. I appreciate it. You've done so much. I tell you, when I first heard you, you were here in Atlanta a few months ago, and I heard you speak, and I was very impressed. I mean, you come across as somebody extremely authentic. You don't pull punches. You go out of your way to help people, and obviously that's true today, cutting short your tournament just to be on the show here, which I certainly thank you for that. And tell me a little bit about it. I'm going to start from the beginning, Scott, and I want to ask you, how on earth did you get started in the sales and motivation business? What was it in your childhood that just sort of pushed that button and said, Scott, you're ordained to teach other people about sales and motivate them and do all this kind of stuff? What happened as a kid, or what got you started in that?
Well, there's a number of different things. My dad spoke for many years for the United Way, never got paid, spoke as a volunteer, was a big fan of Toastmasters. And what he did is he drove people to support the United Way. He would go into companies. And I never really got it. I couldn't understand why he would go be away from the family and not get paid to do this. Mm. I get it completely now. And mm-hmm. so it was really, I was tremendously blessed. I was a five-sport athlete growing up. And was tremendously blessed to have some amazing coaches who always taught us the fundamentals. The one thing that they flat said is, you either do it right or you don't do it at all. And so they really taught us some good foundation and fundamentals. Well, you know, I was never the best athlete, but I was pretty good at everything. You know how certain people are, they're just amazingly gifted. I was fortunate. I was pretty good at everything, not great at anything, but good enough to be able to go on and play Big Ten football at the University of Iowa for Coach Hayden Fry. And,
wow.
You know, you start to pick up, you know, I had great coaches from Cub Scouts on. I mean, we beat a team 72-0 in Cub Scouts, and I was like fourth grade. You know,
wow.
I mean, we were good. You know, I mean, we were uh-huh. coached to be good the right way. And then I was fortunate enough to go off to the University of Iowa. Again, I got to play for Coach Fry. But the other thing was that it was at a time where jobs were non-existent. And my dad worked for the same company for 46 years, from the time he was 17 until he was 63. And so he created this, this fundamental that this is what you did. You worked hard. You did it all. Well, as I was getting a bachelor of business, or my decision was I was going to get a bachelor of business administration degree at the University of Iowa.
Uh-huh.
So was everybody else. You know?
Right.
So we were going to come out of school on even par, and as a freshman in college, my dad's company created a college internship program. So I became a licensed life insurance agent at age 18 and played football and went to school. And in fact, I sold over $250,000 worth of insurance my first month in the business as an 18-year-old.
Wow.
And they had a phenomenal training program, and I just felt that I would come out with 4 years of personal face-to-face presentation experience. Everybody else would just come out with the same degree that I had. And I was very blessed. When people had no offers coming out of school, I had 7. And that kind of showed me that if you do a little extra, you can be pretty good. And then we'll go into some of the mentors and different things, but you know, I learned as much business from Coach Fry as I learned football, and I learned a lot of football.
I bet. That's incredible. What year did you go to school there in Iowa?
1976 to 1980.
Okay.
Very fortunate. Played with a lot of great players that went on to the NFL. Had a few pro opportunities myself and things like that. But I had no desire. It's really funny. Something that you so desire while in the early stages. By the time I was done, I was ready to go to work.
That's great. It sounded to me like your dad instilled in you from early on this seed of success, that drive to just sort of go out and do things just because you love to do them and create that pattern. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, not just my dad, my mom too. My dad passed in 1996, but my mom, after he passed, was 75 years old and went to work. And is now 90 years old, just
wow.
Finished her 15th year with that company. she still works 36 hours a week at 90 years old because she wants to. That's what keeps her alive. It keeps her happy and alive and all that. But like when my daughter graduated from high school, my mom was 85. She got off the plane. She had this new gold watch on. I said, "Mom, that's not like you to buy a gold watch." And she goes, "Oh, I didn't buy it. Florida Hospital gave this to me for volunteering." I said, "Cool. Well, a gold watch, that's pretty nice." She said, "Well, yeah, it's 25 years. I said, "You started when you were 60? And she goes, "Yeah, doesn't everybody?"
That's great.
I think
everybody should. Yeah, sounds like you had some great parents. I mean, they just really set a great example for you, and obviously that is a big head start right there. I mean, just having the great parents like that. I've talked to a number of entrepreneurs, people who are very successful, and I found the same thing. I found that either a parent or both parents or early in life there were some mentors or somebody who just got them on the path, just got their ship pointed in the right direction, and they've taken off from there. So I congratulate you. You're off to a roaring start, and you obviously have made something of it. Tell me, have you come out with the book yet? Without Customers, You Got Nothing. I noticed that you were about to publish it last time you spoke. Has that come out yet? Hello? I think we've lost him here. Let's see if we can't get him back. I think he's probably going to call back here in a minute. But anyway, we're talking to Scott Schilling. Dr. Michael Craig, we're on Logical Soul Talk. And the call-in number, if you want to call in and talk to me, I'm available. My number is area code 347-843-4544, 347-843-4544. Obviously, if you're listening to this as a podcast, you won't be able to call in, but I'm here for those who are listening live, and I'll certainly take your call. We temporarily lost Scott Schilling. I'm hoping he's going to call back. I did not get a chance to get his number. He's calling from a cell phone in a car in Texas, and I think he may have lost his cell or something. Here he is. He's coming back on the line. Let me see if I can get that number so I can 77. Okay, got it. Okay.
Hear me?
We're coming back here. Are you there, Scott?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Yes, I can hear you. Thanks for calling back.
Well, no. I mean, my apologies. I'm just sitting here, and all of a sudden you disappeared, and I'm not sure which side it was, or it must have been me, because you're still there. So.
Yeah, I'm here. It's okay. It happens to me occasionally, so. I kept the troops entertained while you were gone and did a song and dance for a little bit, so I guess we're okay.
I think I was
talking about parents being important, mentors being important. This is what I call the seed of success. Some people have it early on. Some people don't have it, need to develop it or need to find it. But let's get into something near and dear to your heart. I know that you're an expert and a trainer on sales and sales techniques and presentations. You had mentioned something to me earlier and also in your other presentation about sales being a heartfelt business. You want to go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, Michael, I truly believe that sales is not an intellectual or tactical process.
Uh-huh.
I believe that it's a heartfelt relational project, a strategic process. In other words, it's a strategy to like people. I think that so many people make sales into this tactical, manipulation and trickery and things like that, and that's not what it is at all. It's simply providing solutions. So I truly believe that you have to like people. I mean, if you want to be successful, you serve first, you create a relationship. It's even like when you and I met. The chances of you needing what I did even that day is probably 5% that day. But the chances mm-hmm. of you needing to know somebody I know that day is probably 95%. So the point is that I can be an asset to you immediately if that's where my heart set and my mindset is. And I mm-hmm. teach asset as being a five-letter acronym for a serious servant every time. Become a serious servant every time. Excuse me. The rest kind of takes care of itself.
Right.
You know, and that's why when you leaned over to me that day, you had heard me speak, and you were so kind to lean over to me and say, I have a radio show. I'd like to have you on. My immediate response was, absolutely. How can I be of service to you? Again, as much as I would like to, I appreciate your kind words about saying that I came off the golf course at 17, and I did do that. But the point is, my commitment was to be of service to you. It's not your issue that the golf tournament was slow. Mm. I made a commitment to you, and I was here to serve you, and the only thing that will counteract our relationship growing is if I don't uphold my side of that, no matter what it is. There's no good reason for that. It's really funny. I even told my group, I said, you know, as much as I'd like to play this last hole, because we were playing very well at the time, I said, my commitment was to be there at that time. I said, you know, if I was caught in a meeting or something, maybe, but not at a golf tournament. That's not going to cut it.
Right, right. You bring up a very good point, Scott, and that is that, and this is something I've learned that has made the difference between success and failure in my life, for sure, and that is not only being authentic, but being true to your word. In other words, when you say something, you do it. I'm married to a German woman now who holds me to that all the time, pretty much all the time, and bless her heart, because it has changed my life. It has made me into such a better person. And really, the whole thing about business, and I'm sure you concur with that, is that for people to trust you, they have to know that you're going to do what you say you're going to do. And that's really the bottom line about relationships, isn't it?
Yeah, that's actually one of the concepts taught in my new book, Without Customers, You Got Nothing. The concept is say what you do and do what you say.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, you ask me, what do you do? I tell you, and then I honor that relationship, that whatever, you know, whatever has come out of that conversation like that. And the fact is, you're only as good as your word. I teach a lot about integrity, and integrity comes from the word integer, one, wholeness.
Right.
So you can't say you're going to do something and then not do it. I mean, do things happen?
Right.
Yes, something
right.
happened today. But was there a course of action that could be taken even though something happened? Yes. And another principle that I teach in the book is sometimes you make mistakes and sometimes you're wrong, then admit it fast and fix it as fast as you can.
Right.
Stuff does happen, but do it from the right place.
Great advice. Great advice. Your book again is Without Customers, You Got Nothing. You said it's already published. Where can people get a copy of that if they want a copy?
Well, you can certainly get it at scottschilling.com, my website, but it's available on Amazon and other locations from that side as well. So you can go to Amazon and buy it on Amazon, or you can come to scottschilling.com, and we'll certainly serve you there as well, and a number of other places as well.
Great, great. Scott, you had mentioned something in your presentation, and also I'd love for you to cover it here. As I said, a lot of what we do here on this show is talk about techniques and ways that coaches, business life coaches, or whatever coaches there are, mostly business and life coaches, can build their practice, improve their relationships with clients, attract more clients, things like that. And a large part of that, and you mentioned this earlier in selling, is that it's really heartfelt. Be a serious servant every time. I like that acronym. And I noticed that as a coach, we have a tremendous opportunity, for example, to do what I understand is consultative selling. In other words, you're being a servant to the person, and the sales only happens because their need comes up during the consultation, during the talk. And when a need comes up, if you happen to be there with a solution, you just happen to give it to them, that's probably the best way to sell. Go over the, if you would, you mentioned three of the absolutes of a presentation. What are those, and how can a coach or a business coach or consultant use those types of things, or use those three absolutes?
Sure. There's three absolutes to any presentation. I don't care what the product is. I don't care what you're doing. I don't care who you're presenting it to. These are absolutes. Have you ever heard there are no such things as absolutes? Well, they're right.
Right.
Except for these three. These three are absolute.
Okay,
and,
yeah.
And the first is WIFT. What's in it for them? I truly believe you've got to come from a place of others' orientation. You have to come with a desire to serve the other person. If you serve the other person, you will be served. Zig Ziglar.
Right.
Is one of my mentors, and back I think in 1973 when he wrote See You at the Top, he said, you can have anything in life you want when you just help enough other people get what they want. That's really that positioning statement of what's in it for them. The second absolute is that people do business with those they know, like, and trust. If they don't know you, they don't like you. And if they don't like you, they don't trust you. But it is an absolute that people do business with those they know, like, and trust. And this is where, this is a kind of a double-edged thing right now, because this is where, if you understand this, you can have your greatest business growth, because our younger generations don't get the fact that in order to build know, like, and trust, you have to front-load effort. And they're not accustomed to and many times willing to do that. So one of the reasons some of us, more mature people in the marketplace can truly have a tremendous advantage.
Old
today.
Guys.
Well, yes. I was trying to be politically whatever. But the point is that people do business with those they know, like. I actually hate political correctness. But I'm just saying that the fact is, the reason that many older folks can be tremendously successful is we get the concept of investing in advance of receiving ourselves. We understand delayed gratification better than some of the younger generations do. So, again, we have to build know, like, and trust. It's just like when you leaned over to me at that event and we started to get to know each other. Well, you had seen me on stage, so there obviously was something that you must have liked about that. And there was a certain degree of trust that was set up that enabled you to be able to, talk about the show like this. So the point is, people do business with those they know, like, and trust. Guess what? People marry those they know, like, and trust. They go out with those they know, like, and trust. They want to hang around with those they know, like, and trust. So it carries across all things. And then the third absolute is the one thing that most people forget.
That's such an important point.
Yeah, it is. It's, yeah. You know, sometimes people go, well, duh. Well, duh, then why aren't you doing it? You know, that's, like I said, some of us have, you know, who get this. Foundation is foundation. Foundation doesn't change a lot, but people forget to use the foundation. So it's one of those foundational principles. But the third thing, the third absolute, is people take action when they're ready, not when you're ready. And so, again, this leads us into, with some of the newer, younger generations that don't get this front-loading of effort in that, they want their cake and eat it too right now. And the fact is, people take action when they're ready.
Right.
So if they don't know you, like you, and trust you, but they're ready, they don't buy from you. And if they know you, like you, and trust you, but they're not ready, they don't buy from you. But what happens is that people create a relationship. They build this know, like, and trust. They ask somebody to buy. They don't buy. They get frustrated. And then they go, oh, they weren't going to buy anyway. And they ruin the investment that they made to create the relationship. And then they can't figure out why the person doesn't buy. So, again, what we really want, and this is where the heartfelt stuff comes in, what we really want is that middle section to be respect, love, and think you hung the moon. In other words, I want to have think you hung the moon status with everybody I know. I want you... You say, hey, Scott, you know what? I could use some more guests. I want you to come to me to get more guests. Now, is that what I do for a living? No, but I want you to think I hung the moon. I want to help you however I can. Similarly, you say, you know, Scott, I know you're in this portion of the business. You don't do this, but might you know this? Yeah, come to me because I do know those people because I want you to think I hung the moon. I want to create a relationship so strong that I am the hub to a bunch of spokes, if that makes sense. So that's really the three absolutes. And that's absolute in any presentation.
That's so incredible. I was wondering why I do this. You talk about us older folks, more mature individuals, as you say. the fact that people take action when they're ready, not when you're ready. It's such a game changer because I notice that as an older person, I don't mind waiting for things, you know, a little longer than somebody who's only been on the planet a few decades. And what I've noticed is, for example, I've done this show for, it's over 3 years now I've been going with this radio show. I haven't really made much money off of it. I mean, in fact, I really haven't made a dime. I do it because I love it, because I meet the greatest people. And because I get contacts and I get information that I wouldn't ordinarily get, and there's somebody I can help, just like you said, there's somebody out there who I can help give a platform or a voice to, something like that, and I really get a lot of satisfaction out of that. Consequently, I've opened a number of doors for myself. So what you're saying is that it's like Woody Allen's expression. He says, half of success, or what is it? Third of success is just showing up, something like that.
Yeah.
It's similar to me in that vein. Yeah. And go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say it's very much so. The point is that everybody wants it on their time frame. And what happens is when we have a less than ideal economy, like we may have been through the last few years, then people press even harder. And what happens is you actually destroy relationships, you push people away, you destroy brands, you do all sorts of different things when you try to compress when they're ready. And that's why there's such great opportunity now, because if you would just kind of back off of, people have been beat up. They don't want to be beat up. They want to be loved on. And if you would just love on people a little bit more, what you would find is they would buy more things, they would release more dollars, they would take more action, because, and it's the old axiom, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, if you think all this stuff is coming back, it's like plaid. Mm. It's coming back, you know? It never really went away. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know, if you do this,
right.
That's why, like, again, I look at, you know, blocking and tackling in football is foundational. Coach John Richmond taught me to do that in ninth grade. And guess what? If you really want to do it right, you would do it that way today. You know what I'm saying? Sales is no different. These concepts, this philosophy, those kinds of things.
So tell me some of your other mentors. I know you've met quite a few people. I mean, your contact list is probably amazing. And who are some of the people that you see today? And I know that just give a few examples. I asked you to give an expose of anything. But give us a few examples of some people who would be models for those who are looking to be a coach or an entrepreneur, somebody out there who's dealing with people on a regular basis, somebody they can model. Somebody who they can follow, and other than you, of course, which I think is a great one. Give me some examples of those people that follow these three F's and do all the things that you're talking about.
Well, I've been very blessed to have a mentor in a variety of different categories. So I work with the best in a category, and my request of them is give me everything you got because I won't
need
them. I will share. So Jack Canfield would be an example of that in success.
Uh-huh. Right.
John Childers would be an example of that in speaking. John Dealey would be an example of that in masterminding. Brian Tracy in sales psychology and things like that. So, again, think of Michael Jordan had a coach. Would you say Michael Jordan was pretty good? Amazing.
I would say he's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, he still had a coach. So the bottom line is, I don't care who you are or what level you've achieved in your life, you still need a coach. You still need. There's always somebody who knows more than you do so that you can perfect it even a little further. Jack Canfield and I have had this conversation. I said, I'm an amalgamation of you and all these other people. If I'm not good at what I do, shame on me. I've had access to you and Brian and Harv Ecker and John Dealey and John Childers, J.J. Virgin, and on and on and on. If I haven't used that time and that opportunity to get better, that's my problem. That's my problem. That would really be a shame.
Wow. Yeah, you've rubbed shoulders with some of the best. And I must admit, I have spoken to some really incredible people and met a few incredible people myself, some of whom nobody's ever heard of, but they were incredible in their own right. And so I feel as blessed as well. So tell me, Scott, what you mentioned something about a communications model, and I guess we've already covered this to some degree when we talk about the older generation be more willing to delay gratification and do things. Is there something else about this communication model that you wanted to go over?
Well, yeah, it's actually quite specific. Back in the late 70s, there was a UCLA professor by the name of Albert Mehrabian that came with what has become the most misquoted communication study or model in history, so I'll be consistent and misquoted as well. But the concept is what's really Concept is what's important here. What he found is 7% of the communication was the words, 38% the tonality, and 55% the physiology, the gesturing, the eye movement, the facial expression. And so to kind of give you a quick, I'll say the same word three times. Hi. 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 Now, it's all the same word, but when you put tone to it, and what you didn't see is me waving my arms on the third one, when you put gestures to it, it changes the message. And what's happened is everybody thinks of wordsmithing their letters, and we've got to have the right words. Well, that's only, by this study, 7% of the communication. So let's think of what's happened. We used to send a letter via the U.S. Postal Service. We used to write a letter. But we knew it was going to take so long to get to you that we called you to tell you what was in the letter. So you heard our tone about what you were going to receive, so that when you received it, you went, "Oh, that's so nice." Right? Well, what's happened is we've gone to electronic mail, email. And at the touch of a button, I can send you a bunch of words. I found this out the hard way. I was negotiating a deal with a friend to do some training for their organization, and it didn't work out. So I sent him a quick email afterwards. I said, "Hey, I appreciate our efforts. Sorry it didn't work out. Better luck to us next time. Thanks." Well, we had a great relationship, and hadn't heard from him a couple days after that, and that kind of confused me. So I called him, and I said, "What's going on?" He goes, "Nothing." I go, "You sound upset. I got your email." "What email?" "Your sarcastic email." "I didn't send you a sarcastic email." "Oh, yes, you did." I said, "No, I didn't." He goes, "Let me pull it up. Hey, sorry it didn't work out. I know we worked at it hard. Better luck to us next time. Thanks." I said, "That's not what I said." He said, "It's your words." It was my words, but it was his tone. And so what I suggest now is don't ever send an email until you read it two ways. As if you're on puppy uppers, you're the happiest person in the world, exactly how you intend it, and also read it as if somebody just kicked your dog. And if you can add tone to change the message, don't press send. And so, again, we're in this where, you know, again, younger generations don't even use full sentences. They don't even use full words. And we can't understand why communication is breaking down. It's not that hard to figure out. So again, what I encourage people to do is get back to talking to people. It's really fun. I actually teach people how to ask people questions so that the other side does most of the talking. And invariably, they'll say, "You're such a great conversationalist." And I haven't hardly said anything.
Yeah.
Because people want to hear themselves speak. So anyway, communication is just huge. And if we would think this through a little bit more, and again, I teach a lot about this, so far more than I can get, you know, than we want to get into here. But it's really critical and pivotal that people learn how to communicate again.
I think it's especially true, Scott, and that's a great talk there, especially true for coaches, obviously, because coaches have to learn to listen. They have to learn to communicate, or else they don't have any business. And what you're talking about, the heartfelt aspect of sales, the heartfelt connection with people, and most people who are coaches who are listening to this understand that intuitively, and otherwise they wouldn't be a coach. But it's really true that I know several coaches who are a little confused and come to me basically saying, "Well, I just don't understand why my clients don't stay or whatever," and they spend the whole time talking. And I noticed that, well, maybe if you said just a little less, they might see you as a better communicator.
Well,
it's interesting
that,
how we forget that, and sometimes our own problems just sort of infringe on that sometimes.
Yeah, one of my coaching clients, it's really funny. She and a partner have a radio show. And so, gosh, probably a year and a half ago now, the one partner asked me to be on their radio show, and she goes, "I do a show with my coach, and my coach is the coach's coach." I said, "Okay, awesome, that's great." So I went on their show, and we just had, same thing, we just had a kind of like a great conversation like going on here. You know, we just had fun, and we were there to serve people. And after the call, after the show, the coach's coach called me. And she said, "I know this was going to sound really wild, but would you coach me?" And I said, "I thought you were the coach's coach." And she goes, "I am, but you'll be the coach's coach's coach." And I said, "Okay." And we have had just an amazing time. again, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think far too often coaches want to impart genius on their clients as opposed to helping their clients deliver their own genius by walking down the path through questioning techniques.
Yeah, listening and questioning is a lost art. Socrates began that. I don't know if he began it, but he's certainly good at it. And the art of questioning has just been around for a while, but it's something that we have to keep relearning every generation, I imagine.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I actually teach a thing called active listening, which is a questioning process.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think, my seventh grade teacher, she was a great teacher, Ms. Trio, was talking about Socrates taught by asking questions. And I was like, how in the heck does that work? You know, it piqued my interest immediately, and I just wanted to know all about it. And so I've spent a lifetime studying that process, and it never ceases to amaze me that it never ends. It never really ends because it's such an intricate process in and of itself. And I'm sure that you know that and you teach that, and it's an amazing process in and of itself. Tell me, Scott, what is it that's going on in your life now other than the golf tournament? I know you just published your book. What else is going on? What projects are you up to these days? What are you planning to do? What are your hereby plans here?
Well, I'm very blessed. So many things coming together. It's really funny. You work hard, you work hard, you work hard, you plant seeds, you fertilize, you water, you do stuff. And you know what? Stuff grows. It's a novel concept. Who the funk?
Uh-huh.
So very blessed. I actually have a couple new books. I have a couple new training programs. I'm working with a number of corporate clients to build some training programs for them. I've been asked to speak and do more trainings by an organization, and I've as that gets finalized, I'll share that information more. But when you open yourself up to be of service and people finally get it, and they watch a pattern of you doing it, it's really funny. If you were to say, I end every one of my conversations, or most every conversation, but it is on my signature, please let me know how I can be of service to you. And it's very intriguing to me how many people go, so what's your angle? What do you mean, what's my angle? Well, they go, well, why would you offer to serve me? You don't even know me. Well, if I serve you, I'll get to know you. That's it. And it's so funny that,
sometimes... people up.
Yeah, it does. So anyway, with that, I've been very blessed to show a consistent pattern of desiring to help people, and a number of people and projects are coming my way so that I can serve more people. What a blessing. It's just that's cool.
That's great. That is really great. So I had something I wanted to ask you here. The paper fell on the floor and the cat ran off with it.
Of course, I'm lying. But, the dog ate my homework. Does that work for you?
Okay, we're speaking with Scott. I'm gonna. The dog ate my homework. speaking with Scott Schilling, sales coach trainer extraordinaire. Logical Soul Talk, and our call-in number is 347-843-4544. If you want to call in and ask Scott a question, just press 1 to raise your hand, and I'll be happy to call on you. You can ask the man a question yourself. He knows a lot of people. He's got a lot of knowledge. He knows all about sales and marketing, communication, full of wisdom. I was very impressed when I heard you downtown Atlanta, by the way, Scott. It was I enjoyed your whole presentation because you just obviously seemed to be comfortable with the subject matter. You enjoyed speaking. You enjoyed relating to people. You responded to my request to appear on the radio show so elegantly and so endearingly, and I just appreciate you being on the show, and I just wanted you to know that. There are a few people that I find that are remarkable, and I normally don't have an hour show, but I figured I wanted to have an hour for you because it's what you have to say is so important and so basic. You know, like you mentioned, the foundation is so basic, so important. So I just wanted to thank you again for being on the show and sharing what you know.
Well, it's an absolute honor, again, because, you know, if I can help serve your audience, that ultimately helps you serve. So that's an awesome thing. And it helps me serve. And you never know what can come out of putting good work out there. I teach a principle of high intention, low attachment. A high intention to do some good, a low attachment as to what that looks like. You know, right. I've been on radio shows that aren't near the quality of this one. But you know what? Something good still happened out of it. So it just is, I anticipate the quality that will come through this to be even greater. But you know what? If it doesn't come through, it just doesn't. There's no attachment to what has to happen here today other than to work to serve the audience, serve you, and ultimately I believe things will be okay.
And that's that heart part that you were talking about, and it really shines with you, so thank you for sharing that. I've got a caller here. You want to take a call, Scott?
Absolutely.
Hello? Okay. I believe I know who this is. This is Brigitta. How are you doing, Brigitta?
Good. Hey, wonderful. I do have a question to Scott. The way you talk, Scott, I thought you must have a story where something happened with a customer, totally unexpected, and it was like a miracle. I expected something like this must have happened to you. So if it did, could you share it with us?
Like a miracle for me or a miracle for them, you mean? From some of the training? I just want to make sure that I...
Either way, something that blew your mind.
Oh, there are many. You know, it's really funny. And I can go from anything from the stuff that'll start to make me cry to...
Do that.
I'd rather say with the stuff that kind of makes me giggle right now. No, there just been so many cases where you've helped people. I'm a strong believer in giving people a hand up, not a hand out. And there's been some, you know, divorced single moms, five kids, you know, felt like the bottom has dropped out and, oh, my God, you know, our life is over and all that, to coming back and thriving and being successful entrepreneurially, having good, sound businesses, and really showing tremendous model for her kids. And, gosh, that just makes your heart feel good, you know, that somebody went from just barely scraping it to now really doing well. I mean, like, serious dollars, almost seven digits a year from, you know, almost being destitute because, you know, I've got these kids and things like that. So when you get victories like that, gosh, it just makes you feel so great. We took a company from 8 million to 100 million in 5 years. That's pretty cool. So there's been everything from the individual side to the, you know, corporate side and really everything in between. I think my greatest, when somebody really seems down and out, that they come back from down and out to then want to be a coach or want to provide more for others, gosh, what a blessing. You know, that maybe I had some impact in helping them get to that point, but think of the ripple effect that they will now have, and all those people will touch, and all those people will touch, and all those people will touch. That's why I say you never know when you say something to somebody, you never really know how that might germinate. Did that help you a little bit? Does that answer it for you?
Yeah, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Fugitives in Sales. Bridget's my wife, by the way, so she's my sweetheart. Bridget, you're in sales. Did you have a sales-related question or something you wanted to ask Scott?
Nothing in my mind right now.
Well, I would say,
I'll
give you a little something. I'll give you a little something to consider on selling or on sales. If you want to sell more, stop selling. Create an environment for the other person to truly want what you have. And what that takes is hearing what they need, why they need it, how it's going to improve their life. And when you have that, then they will buy what you have as opposed to you having to sell. So really selling is serving. It's really about learning what people need, want, and desire, provide a solution. And again, I'm going to suggest that the vast majority of time, I don't necessarily have that solution, but one of my friends probably does. And so my approach to that would be to have a friend, to recommend a friend.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Great advice. Thank you, Bridget. That's so true. It's like I noticed that, for example, I do this as a matter of course because I found out that it pays such dividends. If not in results, it does immediately in the way I feel. I noticed that when, for example, we have a cabin in Tennessee that we rent out occasionally, and it's only one cabin, and people call in and say, well, that cabin doesn't suit us. We need something, blah, blah, you know, we need something bigger, or we need something in a different location or whatever. And I usually have a list of referrals, people that I can refer them to, hook them up with, places they can go to get what they need. And a lot of people are just amazed. Well, you know, thank you so much. You know, and maybe someday they'll come stay at our cabin. I don't know. But the point is I feel so good about it, you know, and I'm sure that you feel the same way when you guide somebody to some solution that helps them really solve a problem they have. Whether you're in sales or you're a coach or whatever the situation is, just helping somebody, like that movie Pay It Forward, was such a powerful movie where it just sort of laid it out for you. You know, just pay it forward. Somebody's going to benefit,
really,
and eventually it'll come back to you
in
one way or the other.
Well, that's what it's really all about. I mean, we've been put on this earth. I truly believe this. I believe we've been put on this earth to invest in each other, to lift each other up, to expand our own knowledge and capabilities and those of all we touch. So when we do that, we're kind of fulfilling what we've been put here for. And, you know, I've got a strong faith and belief of why I believe all this. And I think everybody has to have belief in higher source, whatever that is for them. It's not me to determine that for them, but it is for me to be a living example of what I believe. And if somebody likes that example, then maybe they'll share a similar belief. And so I truly think that, especially, again, people have been kicked around a lot over the last couple of years. If we can simply be a living example of something that people want to follow, what a blessing. I mean, my goodness, we can make more change happen by not trying to make change, by simply living the change. Gandhi said it many years ago, be the change you want to see in the world. Be kinder, be gentler, be more loving, be more helping, give referrals, help people. Now, where did Gandhi say, you know, be the change you want to see in the world so you can sell more? That's not what he said. But the fact is, if you are the change that you want to see in the world, you will sell more. People don't equate Gandhi with a sales statement, but that really is.
Yeah. I think there's an excellent book out called The Go-Giver, which talks about that as well. Just, you know, you give and give and give and give until the point is where you're just, you know, there's so much coming to you as a result of that you just can't measure it all. And there's no need to measure it all because it's so heartfelt, like you said.
It's really funny. Bob,
that's great,
came out with
this
book.
This is a great conversation.
Thanks. I had never met Bob personally. We shared a stage one time, but we were on different times. and I had never met him, and he came out with the Go Giver, and I read him, and I called him, and I said, "You don't know me from Sikkim, and but I just want you to know we share a similar philosophy, and if I can ever be of service to you," I said, "Bob, you don't need me by any you've been doing this for a long time, but I said if I can be of service to you, I would love to, because I totally respect what you're putting out in the world." Now, he could have said anything at that point, and he said, "You know what? We need to figure out how we can do some things together to serve other people." And we had just met, one phone call. And so I'm not going to say we're the besties or anything like that, but the point is people respect people who share philosophies of service. And a huge part of my success is because people respect the fact that I want to serve. And they're tired of people who are me only. You know? And I really think if you wanna do more, stop trying to do more, serve more, and the do more will happen for you.
That's grand advice, simply for the simple reason that I forgot who it was that said that who you are speaks so loudly I can't hear what you say. Who quoted that? I can't remember.
Well,
I can't recall who said that. But
there's a number of people, but I actually use that quote in my training. Your actions speak so loudly I can't hear the words you're saying. Stop telling me what you're going to do. Show me. You know, and if you want to tell me that you're going to show me, I'm okay with that, but stop telling me all the time. Just show me. Because the fact of the matter
is
we all have it's a similar thing. You've got a desire to do a radio. You are showing the marketplace that that you want to serve the marketplace, and the byproduct ultimately will be either financial and or relationships and or other things. But the fact is you're putting good into the marketplace. Therefore, Jim Rohn said it many years ago, if you want to make more money, provide more value. What you're doing with this radio show is providing value.
Mm.
The rest will take care of itself.
Mm. Well, we certainly provided some value today, Scott. Thanks to you, and you're coming up the golf course early, which I appreciate. It's been an incredible hour. We're just about to wrap this up here. We've got like a couple of minutes, but that whole thing, if we're speaking to life coaches, and a lot of my clients are life coaches or business coaches, and that whole expression, you know, who you are speaks so loudly you can't hear what you say. Like you said, when you call the author up and said, "How can I be of service to you?" He knew who you were immediately. And so it's like that. It's like you can start. It's like some of the brothers down in the hood say, "I feel you, brother. I feel you." It's like there's a way of feeling each other where you'd really know where they're coming from, really know who they are.
Yeah, we've all been built with intuition. And when you feel, you know, somebody makes a statement, you can feel whether they're authentic or not. You can feel whether they're real or not. You can feel whether they're phony or not. And what I would recommend or suggest to everybody is just open up your awareness a little bit. God built us all with amazing intuition. Use it. People are afraid of it. Stop being afraid of it. Use it. I mean, you've been given this amazing talent and capability. All you got to do is want it.
Right. Well, Scott, thank you so much again for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time. I can't begin to thank you. And I'll talk to you. Let me call you after the show, with your permission. I'd like to ask you a question.
Sure.
But meanwhile, this is Michael Craig. This is Logical Soul Talk.